There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Well, let's just bring you up to date with what's happening in the world of sport at the moment. We've got live sport taking place around the globe. We're going to talk Premier League football in just a few moments, but there is an early kickoff. Russ, Chris, what can you see?
Yeah, we have a cracker right now going on in the Emirates. Arsenal up 2-1 over Burnley, 78 minute right now. However, Burnley has just made some substitutions, and they are pressuring Arsenal, looking for a final goal here in the last 12 minutes of regular time.
Good on you, fella. Thanks very much indeed for that. CVR's alongside me as well. What's happening in the rugby?
Yeah, Tom, what I can tell you is we've had one kickoff in the top 14 is Agen taking out Stade Français, and it's a Nicolas Sanchez penalty for Stade Français that separates two teams. 21 minutes played, Stade Français 3, Agen 0.
Lot to look forward to here on Dubai Eye 103.8. Listen to The Grill broadcasting our final show of 2018 live from Barasti up here on the rooftop garden. If you're in and around the venue, come on down and say hi. Why? Because you've got a lot to look forward to. You've got Cardiff City against Manchester United. It's on the big screen here at Barasti, but it's also live here on Dubai Eye 103.8, 9:30 local time here in the UAE. Before that, at 7 p.m. local time, all sorts of action taking place across the EPL. We have got Bournemouth entertaining Brighton and Hove Albion in a South Coast derby. That one kicking off at 7 o'clock. Huddersfield entertaining Southampton. Man City are at home to Palace. Newcastle are at home to Fulham. And it's all the W's as West Ham United welcome Watford to the London Stadium. All those 7 o'clock kickoffs, and when there are goals in those, you will hear those during our feature match commentary. And that comes from the bridge, where Chelsea take on Leicester City. John Anderson is the man who's going to be calling it for us, courtesy of our friends at TalkSport. He joins us now live on the line ahead of the kickoff. John, thanks much indeed for your time this afternoon. You've got a fascinating clash to call a little later on. Maurizio Sarri has been underplaying Chelsea's title chances during the week and the build-up, but Chelsea, three out of the four last Premier League matches won for them. Is that them back on form and following their defeat at the beginning of the month to Wolves?
Well, it's been a little bit patchy, hasn't it? I mean, prior to that Wolves win, they beat Manchester City in a result which I think was welcomed by the majority of the Premier League. But since then, they've lost two of their last five Premier League games. I think Maurizio Sarri, when he says that Chelsea have no chance of winning the title, I think he genuinely is being realistic. I mean, when you look at the table, Liverpool, of course, have won last night. Manchester City will be expected, I'm sure, to beat Crystal Palace today. Chelsea come into this game with 37 points. That's 11 off the pace when you consider that Boxing Day will bring us into the halfway mark in the Premier League season. I think Sarri's feeling very much is that I've arrived at the club, I want to put my stamp on it. I don't think I'm going to win the title. They've got great prospects, though, in cup competitions, because, of course, they're through to the League Cup semi-finals with that victory over Bournemouth, albeit scrambled late goal from Eden Hazard in midweek. They, of course, will play Malmo, which is a pretty kind draw with the greatest respect to the Swedish club in the Europa League, and they start their defence of the FA Cup against Nottingham Forest. So I think Sarri would consider it to be a successful season for him were he to get Chelsea a top-four finish, get them back in the Champions League, and maybe pick up a cup along the way.
What about his opposing number this afternoon, John? Claude Puel, who's had great success with Leicester in recent times, but more recently on those times, back-to-back league defeats, that Carabao Cup exit as well. Are there certain whisperings around the Whispering One?
Well, there are. I mean, some of the Leicester City fans I know were never particularly happy with Puel. He was seen as a dour figure and a manager who perhaps wasn't quite the sort of character they wanted in charge. I mean, obviously they had the tragedy with the helicopter crash where he was magnificently dignified. He behaved superbly throughout that awful time in the club's history towards the end of October. And I think that, you know, was reflected in an outpouring of respect for him from the fans. But, you know, now that we're reaching the Christmas period, they have a pretty poor record. You know, they've only won one, I think, in their last six games in the Premier League. There are rumours of also that Jamie Vardy and Claude Puel are not actually seeing particularly eye to eye at the moment. Certainly Jamie Vardy's wife didn't help that with a few tweets from fans that were criticising Claude Puel. The problem with Leicester, I think, is that, you know, how on earth are they ever going to eclipse their title-winning season? 3 years ago, Leicester City were top of the Premier League at Christmas and went on to win the league. And, you know, they've reverted to type, really. They're now back to being a pretty run-of-the-mill mid-table Premier League club. And, you know, for them, I suppose success will be knocking on the door of the top six, seven or eight, and perhaps picking up a cup. But it's a difficult situation that Claude Puel finds himself in. But certainly there are murmurings amongst the fans at the King Power that maybe they're tiring of him a little.
John, just looking at Chelsea once again, we know that they can beat the big teams. I mean, fantastic display against Manchester City early on. But what do you feel they need to do to keep that consistency going? As you mentioned, after that, slipping up once or twice, what do you feel Sarri needs to bring into that team to keep the consistency going throughout the season?
Well, at the moment, he actually has been fairly consistent with the way that he's set up the team. I mean, most of the back five, if you include the goalkeeper, are pretty much ever-present. I think David Luiz was rested against Wolves. I think that's the only change that he's made all season to his defensive setup. And N'Golo Kante was a problem. I think a lot of people felt that maybe he was being played in the wrong position. There is a question mark about the balance of that midfield, and it is the same one today, Kante, Jorginho and Kovacic. Whether that is the right formation for Kante to do what he does for Leicester, of course, his previous club who he helped win that title, and Chelsea, who he's also been a title winner with and a World Cup winner as well. And then there's the question of Eden Hazard. Now, Hazard again today will be playing as a false nine, if you like, between Pedro and Willian. A season or so ago, he was used in that position, Hazard, and admitted that he didn't particularly like it. Sarri was asked about that after Hazard played again as a false nine and scored the winner against Bournemouth in midweek. And Sarri said, well, Hazard is getting used to the position and he's growing into it. So it seems that that may be the way ahead, given that Alvaro Morata is injured and Olivier Giroud is on the bench today, neither of whom really have contributed a huge amount of crucial goals this season. So they do look to Hazard enormously to provide the goals. He's got 10 in 21 games for the club so far. So maybe looking ahead, he needs possibly to get another striker in January just to help share the burden a little bit. Willian obviously chips in with a few, but other than that, there aren't too many goal scorers in this Chelsea ranks, and that may be something that needs to be addressed.
You mentioned there about some of the men to look out for Chelsea this afternoon. Any changes for Leicester this afternoon in the team news you're seeing in front of you?
Do you know what, John? While I've been on, I haven't actually. I've got the Leicester team now. I'm going to have to. Yes, interestingly enough, Hamza Chowdhury is starting for Leicester today. That is a real shock. He's a 21-year-old of West Indian Bangladeshi heritage. It's only his third appearance of the season. Just looking, Ben Chilwell is back. He's missed the last couple of games. The England left fullback, he's back in the team. Pereira, Ricardo Pereira is still at right back. So the team is Schmeichel, Ricardo, Morgan, Maguire, Chilwell, Chowdhury, Mendy, Ndidi, who's passed a fitness test, Albright, Vardy and Maddison. So Hamza Chowdhury is a real surprise inclusion. I must confess, I haven't seen him a great deal. He had a loan spell at Burton Albion a couple of seasons ago. He's barely played for Leicester. I think it'll only be his 12th appearance. He's never scored a senior goal for the club, but he will play in midfield. So that's quite a surprise there from Claude Puel, who's gambled there. Chilwell, he'll be pleased to see back, who's an outstanding young defender. Fuchs drops to the bench, and other than that, it's unchanged.
John, you are going to be live here in Dubai from 7 o'clock this evening. Who have you got alongside you?
I've got Paul Parker alongside me, a Manchester United legend who is also an England legend, reached the semi-finals of the World Cup in 1990. I'm sure we'll be chatting to him about the situation at Manchester United as well, because obviously with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer going to Cardiff City, his former club, for his first game as caretaker manager, it'll be very interesting to see what happens there. So we're looking forward to chatting to him about that.
We are very much looking forward to it here in the UAE. Send our best to Paul. He was over here in Dubai very recently as well, so good to hear him on the radio. John, going to have to push you for a prediction. Chelsea at home against Leicester?
Leicester don't traditionally do very well at Stamford Bridge. I think Chelsea will probably win by 2-0.
Looking forward to it. John Anderson, all the best for Christmas, all the best for New Year.
Thanks,
looking forward to the commentary.
Christmas.
Thanks so much indeed.
Cheers.
Our thanks to John Anderson. Johnny is live on the line. He is the man in charge alongside Paul Parker for Chelsea against Leicester City. Stay tuned for that one at 7 o'clock local time here in the UAE. Goals from all the other 7 o'clock kickoffs as and when they happen.
Oh, it's a fabulous goal!
This is The Grill, live from Barasti, with more sport, the latest headlines, and top debate on Dubai Eye 103.8.
We start with news of another goal, and it's coming from the Emirates Stadium. Which way is it gone? Is it Arsenal? Is it Burnley? CBR.
Yeah, what I can tell you is, Tom, the captain's Obensi has really done something to Mesut Ozil. He's been on absolute fire today. He runs into the ball with the box, has a strike, comes off a defender, lands for Iwobi, and what I can say is in the 91st minute of the game, he puts it in the back of the net. Fantastic goal there for Iwobi. Arsenal 3, Burnley 1.
That's what's happening in the football at the moment. Talking of the football, fellas, we've got to look ahead to this game at 8:30 this evening down in the nation's capital. It is Al Ain, who've seen great progress through the FIFA Club World Cup. Played 2-1-2, gets them through to the final. Their opponents played 1-1-1, gets them through to the final. Al Ain against Real Madrid. Which way do you read this one? Ross Christ, looking forward to it?
Yeah, I can't wait for this one. I mean, Al Ain, what a story they have had coming, getting to this point in the Club World Cup. That game against River Plate just seemed, when he made that save, the whole entire stadium seemed to erupt. And I was watching Matt Monaghan, who we've had on from Sport 360. We've had him on a couple times. And one thing that he brought to my attention that I kind of already knew, but one that's unique to this region, is how the local supporters will put down their rivalry and get behind one club if they're doing all good. And it just seemed like all the Emiratis, no matter if you're an Al Wasl fan, or you grew up a Fujairah fan, or you grew up a Sharjah fan, everyone's hat's in on Al Ain, and they're all getting behind them right now. So it's certainly quite the story for the host nation. Real Madrid, though, on paper, they should win this game. But on paper, you know, Al Ain shouldn't even be right here right now. So you just never know. That's why we played the game.
I mean, isn't that the point? The point is the fact, if ever they were going to have a chance to beat Real Madrid, surely this is the chance, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, Tom. If you look at how they've been going in the tournament, to Ross's point, tonight is the night for them. And I think I'm going to be with those locals and throw my hat in and get behind them, because I think tonight is as good a time ever. Yes, it's the mighty Real Madrid, and on paper they should win the game. But unfortunately, the game is won on grass, not on paper.
We're certainly going to know about it, aren't we? If Al Ain beat Real Madrid this evening, I think you will hear about it out there on the streets first.
We might have a government shutdown tomorrow. there's not going to be a whole lot of work getting done in some of these offices tomorrow if Al Ain do come through and beat.
It's going to be a sellout, isn't it?
100%. And I'll tell you, everyone will be there. You're going to see expats there. You're going to see a lot of locals there in their Candoras. You're going to see a mesh of people getting behind Al Ain, because, like I said before, the whole entire Arabian Golf League, they're all for this team right now. They're all buying in on the Al Ain versus Real Madrid. And I guarantee you, a lot of the locals that grew up watching Real Madrid and rooting for Cristiano Ronaldo and all these teams, they're putting that down for Al Ain right now. They're going to be putting on the purple and gold.
But to Ross's point, and this is why I think it will be a sellout crowd, Tom, is that traditionally a lot of the locals do support Real Madrid. That would be kind of their European team that they do support. So I think it's going to be absolutely fantastic atmosphere there this evening, and sellout crowd for sure.
Look, you can't deny that they've deserved their place in the final. Two great games to get there, and beating River Plate, you know, a team, albeit, you know, they've had a fairly tough schedule recently, and that game over in Madrid, etc. But beating a team of that class means they're deserved of that place in the final, and maybe that momentum, maybe they can just maintain that momentum a little further.
Yeah, you'd hope so. But, you know, Real Madrid hasn't quite had the season that they've wanted so far, wouldn't you say so, Tom? Things haven't been going their way. So you'd think if they can get another title, if they can get another piece of hardware to bring home back to Spain with them, they'd be going gunning for this. So I think Real Madrid's really going to come out at the Ziyad Sports City Stadium, and they're going to be coming all guns firing for the purple and gold. So they certainly have an uphill match going against Real Madrid. But, you know, if any team could do it, it is this Alain team. You saw what they did against River Plate. So Carl said it before. That's why they play the game.
It's 8:30 kickoff down in Abu Dhabi. It is Real Madrid against Alain to be crowned the FIFA Club World Cup champions. How did Alain do it? This is how they did it in the semi-finals.
This was a semi-final to remember for years to come. An exhilarating night full of tension and drama. And for the side from the UAE, Alain, it got off to a perfect start. Marcus Berg with an early header to score. Santos Borre, though, got an equaliser for River Plate. And it seemed as though the winners of the Copa Libertadores were firmly in charge when he got a second goal to make it 2-1. There were appeals for penalties from both sides. Video assistant referee saying no spot kick on that occasion. And then near the end of the first half, El Shahat thought he'd scored an equaliser, but this was ruled out for offside. 2-1 then to River at the break, but the Brazilian Caio scored to make it 2-2 with a fine finish. River still had chances. They were awarded a penalty. But Gonzalo Martinez struck his shot against the bar. Late on in the match, Alain almost won it with the final kick of extra time. And so we went to a penalty shootout. 5 out of 5 for Alain. Enzo Perez stepped up to take the final penalty. It was saved by Khalid Issa. Alain coach Zoran Mamic described Alain's performance as amazing. He really couldn't have picked a better word. Tears for some, jubilation for others. Alain are into the final.
Let's see how they fare in that final. 8:30 this evening. Best of luck to Alain, the whole of the UAE, the whole of the region, the whole of the Arab world behind there as they take on the mighty Real Madrid. Right, tis the season to be jolly. That's what we're doing down here. Well, we're trying to stay a bit warm, but be jolly at the same time. It is the grill, final show of the season. Therefore, a bit of a get-together. You can hear the hubbub of friends and, of course, supporters of the grill behind us there coming together to celebrate another season down here at Barasti. Talking of celebrations, there are celebrations aplenty the world over. The festive season is in full swing, and you found something that's rather amusing, Ross Christ.
Yeah, well, you know, the BBC brings it, it seems, week after week with some witty stuff, and I found a little Christmas carol, so I just figured we'd play this out for the listeners because I found it quite entertaining.
Jose, you've got a bit more time on your hands now. Will you make it to the Christmas markets?
I'm not confident, and the market closes today, so it's time, at least for me, to stop thinking about the market, because the market will be closed.
Roy, Ed Sheeran got Christmas number one last year with Perfect. A lot of people say it's one of the best. Where does it rank for you?
Yeah, it ranks very highly, of course. I mean, one always tends to think that the latest one is the best one, but it's very difficult to sort of compare, I suppose.
So, Jürgen, we've heard you're meeting up with Sean Dyche to go carol singing. Are you excited about that?
I'm really looking forward to meet him. He's obviously vocal-wise very talented, it will be a big pleasure to meet him.
Sean, you've got some pretty strong views on people playing Fortnite over Christmas. Why is that?
There's no point to my words. No one wants to stop it. It's embarrassing. If children watch it, my lad plays, you know. Someone seems to think it's acceptable. I must be the only one, it seems, who doesn't think it's acceptable. But hey-ho, I'll keep trying to bang the drum, but I don't think it'll affect much.
Maurizio, I've heard you always treat yourself to a pampering session every Christmas. I have to say, you look great.
Thank you. That is why my head, my face, I look younger than really I am.
Right, Pet, your Christmas dinner order. Sprouts? Roast potatoes? Okay. Carrots? No? Okay, hold on. Red sauce? Parsnips? Cranberry sauce?
Yeah.
Okay, quite picky, aren't you?
Pep's quite the fussy eater, isn't he? Would he be welcome at your house for Christmas, Jürgen?
Not for a dinner, but he's most welcome in my little boot room in here in Anfield. He will be in, his family is already in. So that's special. It will always be special for the two of us. Two old men are friends.
Neil, is it true you've got a big night on the town planned for Christmas Eve?
Well, I'll sleep well tonight, won't I? All right, I know Sharon's organised it, but a nice steady night, and, you know, I'm not getting any younger, as you know, and moments like this, you've got to treasure.
Arsene, I've been trying to think of the right word to describe Christmas. The best one I can think of is fabulous. Would you agree?
Yeah, exactly. It's the right word. You're a good journalist.
Oh, thanks.
Merry Christmas to everybody.
Very good. So just some of the Premier League managers getting themselves into the spirit. Also getting themselves into the spirit, the world of Formula One. And what better opportunity for us to reflect on what was another successful year for Lewis Hamilton. Lewis Hamilton dominating F1 yet again. It was a competitive season nonetheless.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, the thing to me that made this F1 season is that Ferrari was very, very competitive at the start. And Red Bull kind of, you know, we had the Australian winning the Monaco Grand Prix, and I kind of thought they would come back a bit stronger, Tom, but they struggled to establish themselves, and the battle between Vettel and Lewis Hamilton actually went on for quite a while, and I think that's why a lot of fans were glued to the TV set. You know, we saw the resurgence of Ferrari, finally a team that can compete with Mercedes, but I think at the end of the day Lewis Hamilton showed his class, you know, and he won the championship once again, well-deserved winner, and Lewis Hamilton now establishing himself as one of the greatest drivers ever to drive in F1.
Yeah, for me it's got to be the retirement of Alonso. He's just been the Spaniard's been a quote machine over the last decade or so as we've been following him on the F1. He's going to try to bring his talents to America to see if he can translate it to the racing grid over there. But what he did in that McLaren car, he got 50 points over 20 races, you know, and I don't know if anyone really could have done that. So that is quite, you know, that's something to say out of that McLaren car, because it certainly hasn't been getting much. But I think he'll be missed, won't he?
He will indeed. And you know what? I know that they come with a sort of certain stereotype, don't they, in terms of the Formula One drivers, apparently they're all very cold, they're all very boring, and they're all very focused, etc. But have a little listen to this. There is a bit of fun to be had along the way as we look back on some of the funny moments of 2018.
I get a very solid day at the office.
Kimi Räikkönen.
Kimi Palmu! 19-1-1-9! Räikkönen!
You are on board.
Thank you.
I faked an illness to get out of a PR appearance.
Did you win the championship or
no?
I don't know.
We know all Ferrari drivers have to speak a bit of Italian. How is your...
No, I don't.
You don't speak any.
Maybe that's the reason I'm going. Finally.
Well, Kimi parties all the time, so...
I guess.
They're full wets on that, for goodness sake.
Wow.
What on earth? Are we at the same venue as this race, Crofty?
Talking of which, the stewards have decided no further action. Daniel Ricciardo and Sebastian Vettel. Someone's doing some great impressions there at Formula One cars. Turn your volume up on the TV. It's a sound effects lap with Kimi Räikkönen. Let's have a listen. And I dare say Kimi Räikkönen has rather ruined that lap, Paul, before it really got going. Kimi Räikkönen having to defend from last name and last name.
Kimi, say it now.
Stay up.
In. Hey, man.
No, sorry, mate. Hey, just go.
Check if there is fire. Check if there is fire at the back. Check if
there is fire behind.
Whatever I said, whatever I did, I didn't mean it.
I've gone to the toilet in my race car.
Never.
There's a little bit of like excitement piddle, but not a proper one.
Just like a little bit dripped out.
Yeah. So, oh, I'm excited. Oops.
Hello, folks, and welcome to Paddock Pass. Just walked straight through my shot, mate. Not a problem. So, Sauber then, not in the points today, although it came. So there you go. No conspiracy, no favouritism. So all you keyboard warriors can
This is The Grill. Get involved with the show. Text 4001 or message us for free on the Dubai Eye Messenger app.
You're listening to The Grill, broadcasting live from the rooftop garden here at Barasti, where the game is always on. Game's finished in the Premier League. Early kickoff finished. How many?
Yeah, Tom, what I can tell you is Arsenal back to winning ways, beating Burnley 3-1. And you've got to ask yourself, a lot more problems for Sean Dyche and Burnley as they're back in that relegation zone.
Right, plenty more to look forward to. And, of course, at 7 o'clock, your feature game down here on Dubai I-103.8 will be Chelsea against Leicester City. Maurizio Sarri has named an unchanged side to take on Claude Puel's team, who make a couple of changes to their starting. Right, let's get some more as we look back on some of the big moments of the sporting year.
Another record-breaking year of sporting success. Trophy after medal after trophy after medal. Undefeated champions remain undefeated. But behind all the glory and the gold, there's the guts. Every champion was once a contender. But talent alone can only get you so far. To become the best, you've got to work harder than everyone else. And these heroes wake up earlier, go further, train longer. It's lonely at the top. And the climb to success is full of people trying to take you down. It's not enough to just be the best. You've got to stay there. Records were made to be broken. Trophies are there to be taken. Best must be bettered.
England win a World Cup penalty shootout for the first time ever.
The success and adulation of this year only makes others even hungrier. So enjoy the victories. And know there are proud nations supporting you.
They have won the Commonwealth gold medal for the first time.
Here's to a great year of sport. The best the UK had to offer, giving the UK the best they had to give.
Yeah, UK has celebrated in some style over the last couple of weeks. They've had the BBC Sports Personality of the Year Awards, amongst others. But that's not to forget some of the major events that we've looked back on over 2018. And we can't get through a show, a three-hour show, without mentioning a certain event that took place in Russia over the summer. I think it had us all transfixed throughout the entirety of the tournament, whether you were in the dome or not. Ross Christ.
Yeah, it was the World Cup, and wow, what a tournament it was! It was certainly fun, you know. And I'm coming from the American perspective. I didn't even have a dog in the fight, as they say back home. But boy, it was just an entertaining World Cup. FIFA for an organization that takes as much flack as FIFA has for corruption and their leadership isn't quite there. They scored big on the World Cup because I think that tournament, you know, just brought together people that wouldn't even been remotely interested in the sport of football, in the sport of soccer, and they did it well. And I'll tell you, like I said earlier in the show, Barassi did it well too with that dome, the Barassi World Cup dome. Absolutely phenomenal. Phenomenal. So, yes. Good work, FIFA. Good work, World Cup, as we're celebrating here at the top of the rooftop garden, if you want to join us.
It's coming home. I mean, it nearly did come home for England. But I think, to me, the story of the World Cup was, Tom, that it wasn't those traditional teams that did well. We saw a resurgence of Russia. I mean, who expected the host nation to do so well? Croatia, of course, making that final quite unexpectedly. And then England. I think England was the big, big story of the World Cup. So, to me, it was one of the most exciting World Cups that I've ever watched, because you saw, call it the lesser nations of so forth, coming through, really announcing themselves on the world stage. And then, as Ross says, I think for Barasti business and everything, England going to the latter rounds of the tournament was absolutely fantastic. So I think it was a fantastic tournament. France, to me, proved their class. We saw players like Mbappe and the likes really, really coming through. So a fantastic tournament, fantastic World Cup, and we look forward to the next one in 4 years' time in Qatar.
It was an absolute belter, that's for sure. And as if you need reminding of some of the highlights of it.
Kroos will go for it and score! An inspirational moment from Toni Kroos. Well, when they're down, when they are tested, they find a way to win.
Moussa again, trying to get round the back of Arnesen. He's in, it's Moussa, across goal, Moussa Shirley! It's the Ahmed Moussa show! Just minutes after he hit the crossbar, he's put in a second goal, and Iceland caught flat-footed at the back once again. Arnesen couldn't get the challenge in, and Moussa makes it four goals in two World Cup matches.
Courtois, safely grabbed. And there's just time for De Bruyne to lead this attack. Japan desperate to cover the spaces. They can't do so for the moment. Lukaku, and here's a winner! Oh, can you believe it? Nasser Chadli strokes Belgium into a quarter-final against Brazil.
Juba, Cheryshev's not stopped. Denis Cheryshev, oh my word! Quite something! The boy's a star! One glorious, glorious goal!
Brilliant ball from Banniger. Is this the opener? Yes, it is! Stylish finish, which Maradona himself would have been proud of. Argentina's prayers have just been answered by the little man.
Modric. Now he'll unleash one! Sensational goal from Luka Modric! And surely now, Croatia's golden generation are on their way to the last 16! So Quintero, can he deliver? Under the wall and in! He's buried beneath. Clever free kick under the wall. Pavard. Oh, how about that? Glorious. Benjamin Pavard puts France level.
Just a few of the highlights of the FIFA World Cup 2018 from Russia, which will long live long in our memory. As will a small event that took place in France, just northwest of Paris, towards the latter part of this year. After the summer, we were rather bemoaning the fact there wasn't major sporting events. And then, of course, we got the Ryder Cup, and that delivered.
Oh, that delivered, Tom. And I tell you what, if you're a European fan, it definitely delivered. Because as Ross was earlier speaking about teams on paper, if you looked at the American team on paper, well, nobody gave Europe a chance at all for that Ryder Cup. Even myself, I thought that the Americans will convincingly win that. They had three former world number ones in the form of Justin Thomas, Dustin Johnson, of course, Brooks Koepka in the team. But one thing that let the Americans down, of course, they did no preparation on the course. Very few of them had played the course. And as you say, the Europeans once again came. They delivered. Molinari really put himself on the map this year. Tommy Fleetwood really put himself on the map this year. And then Mr. Ryder Cup himself, the call in the postman, Ian Poulter, once again delivering.
There was fallout straight afterwards about the sort of what went on with the American team. now we've had a couple of months to think about it. What's the story over in the States?
I just don't think they played good golf, and that's my breaking news bulletin for you there, Tom. They just got their butts handed to them. They weren't not playing that good out there in France, and Europe brought it, and it was Mr. Poulter and all the company, and you know, you have to start raising your questions about why these Americans can't get it together, because it seemed like on paper, Carl said, they just seem so stacked. Just every single matchup just looks stacked. And then when it comes time to tee them off and start walking the greens, they just were not any good at all. So, yeah, you have to look back at that and say that's probably one of the bigger disappointing American sporting events that happened in 2018.
Being American, two things. Would you want to play with Patrick Reed in the team? And also, do you think that was one tournament too much for Tiger Woods?
Tiger Woods looked kind of off his game during that. The whole Patrick Reed thing, you're supposed to come together as an individual. See, all these guys are individuals. They're playing an individual sport, and once every couple of years they have to try to be a team. And it's hard for a lot of these people to do it. And I think it's just hard for Patrick Reed to understand the concept of being a team player. And I would not want to have someone like that on my team. And that's why I think a lot of golfers, a lot of individualistic sports, when they have to try something where there's a group, it just doesn't quite mesh. And you saw that with Patrick Reed post the golf tournament. You saw that with some of the comments that he said. You certainly wanted to raise an eyebrow, but yeah, you hope these American golfers could get it together by the time the next Ryder Cup rolls around.
Ryder Cup 2018, another of the highlights, sporting highlights of 2018. Ross won't want me to listen to this one. European golf fans out there will, though, as we remind ourselves of the drama of that final day.
The final day singles at the 2018 Ryder Cup provided a suitably dramatic ending to what has been a wonderful competition between Europe and the USA. Europe taking a 10-6 lead into the final day. Paul Casey out early on laid down the marker with this putt at the second. He was playing against Brooks Koepka. In the end, that match would be halved. Tiger Woods never looked entirely comfortable, but two wonderful shots at the ninth was followed by an eagle putt. It was one of the key matches of the afternoon. Woods has only lost once in seven previous Ryder Cup singles, playing against John Rahm, who hold this birdie putt at 17 to confirm a vital victory for Europe. And what a reaction from the 23-year-old Spaniard. The world number one, Dustin Johnson, was playing Ian Poulter, both undefeated in singles in the Ryder Cup. Johnson looked to be out of it at the 11th, until this. The match went all the way to the 18th. Poulter in form too, after this birdie putt at 14. The Englishman holding on to win two up. Sergio Garcia had the chance to make Ryder Cup history today by securing more points than any player on either side who has played in this epic competition. And appropriately, he did so with a win. Victory over Ricky Fowler by 2-1. Phil Mickelson was playing in his 12th Ryder Cup, but it wasn't to be a happy memory. This was his tee shot at 16. Playing against Francesco Molinari, who was 3-up at the time, it guaranteed the point that Europe needed to secure a famous victory. And what a week it's been for Francesco Molinari. 5 wins in 5 matches, and the privilege of contributing the winning point. It's been a year that the Italian will never forget. The celebrations began and will no doubt continue long into the night. Warm words between the two captains, Jim Furyk's Americans and Thomas Bjorn's Europeans. And in the end, a surprisingly comfortable win for Europe, 17.5 points to 10.5. While the celebrations were going on, there was one match still out on the course, and even it finished dramatically. Alex Noren holding a monster putt in 18 to beat Bryson DeChambeau and complete a famous European win. Every single member of the 12-man team contributed. What a week, what a way to finish. Those vast crowds here in Paris waited on to acclaim the winners as the trophy was presented to Thomas Bjørn. There's nothing quite like the Ryder Cup. The USA's long wait for a win out with the States will go on a little longer. It's now going to be 29 years since they last won away. A great week for Team Europe.
Oh, it's a fabulous goal!
This is The Grill, live from Barasti, with more sport, the latest headlines, and top debate on Dubai Eye 103.8.
A couple of goals going in the Italian Serie A. Empoli are drawing with Sampdoria at half-time in that game. It's one apiece in that one. Napoli have taken the lead against Spal. That was into the second half down there. And Udinese lead Frosinone by 1-0 at half-time. Freiburg have taken an early half lead against Nuremberg in the first half over in the German Bundesliga. Leverkusen are 1-0 up against Hertha Berlin, and Schalke have scored away at Stuttgart. All those goals going in the first half. And down in Abu Dhabi, Kashima Antlers taking on River Plate in the third, fourth playoff place of the FIFA Club World Cup, and it is River Plate who lead by 1-0 with 62 minutes on the clock. Liverpool last night, very impressive.
They've been impressive the whole season, Tom, and I think it's going to take a lot to stop them. At this moment in time, I still favour City to take the title, to be perfectly honest with you, but I think Jurgen Klopp and the boys have really done a superb job, and the big question is now, can they carry on this form into the new year?
It's been described as one of the most complete performances last night for Liverpool, who remain unbeaten.
Yeah, they're top place in the top of the league there, Tommy. But unfortunately, last night I was dialed into the NBA, so I couldn't tell you their performance last night. But I'm sure Carl Van Rosenfeld kept an eye on them when I was watching LeBron James and the Lakers win.
It's an interesting game. They were just from Virgil van Dijk at the back and him with his goal as well. First goal for Liverpool in the league, that is, for Virgil van Dijk. I just thought they were the complete product, as did Gary Neville. He went out and about straight after the game asking Liverpool fans just how good this Liverpool team is.
Team you've seen since the last one that won the title or not?
Probably the best since 87-88, no messing about, and I was only seven at the time, so who knows. They looked the absolute business to me, this side. Best start of a season I think any side's ever had. Champions League group was rock hard, and then still unbeaten, played 17, won 14, drawn 3. This is a great side, but it's up against a brilliant Man City team.
Better pundit than me, you!
No, it's mad being in a situation where a team that's by and large considered to be the best that the Premier League's ever seen is behind us at this point of the season, and as much as we're worried about them, I think they're more worried about us.
This Liverpool team might end up being the best Liverpool team of all time and not win the league. That's mad.
Would you sacrifice the Champions League to go out against Bayern Munich to win the Premier League?
If you were guaranteeing me that we'd win it, then yeah, absolutely. I don't care about anything else as long as we win a Premier League title. But I think the depth of the squad, the versatility of the squad is at the point now where they can absolutely challenge for both. We don't play in Europe again for another 3 months nearly.
How important is that game in a couple of weeks against City?
It's massive. It is massive. And I mean, it's going to their... They've come to us, it's a draw. We've got to go to their place and win, I think. I mean, people are saying we'll be fine if we're still 1 point clear, but I think we've got to win. We've got to give ourselves a little bit of margin for error.
And what about tonight? Dangerous game?
Really dangerous. They're a cracking side. Seventh in the league for a reason. Done well against our rivals up there at the top this season. They even got a point at Old Trafford, which is, you know, no mean feat these days.
Oh, we've got another Liverpool fan here, by the way. Oh, yeah. Do you think you can win the league?
Of course we are. It's on.
Thanks, James.
Well done to one and all. So Liverpool, impressive last night. What have we got for you now? Well, down the road, it is Alain against Real Madrid. That one kicks off at 8:30. Players in the Tunnel over at Stamford Bridge. Chelsea against Leicester is coming your way at 7 o'clock local time here in the UAE. And stay tuned straight after that. Cardiff against Manchester United from 9:30 this evening. Just remains for us to say a huge thanks to all the team down here at Barasti for putting up with our nonsense over the last 12 months. We're back again in 2019 with more. We're going to take a couple of weeks off over the Christmas and New Year period, but we're back refreshed and anew in early 2019 with some familiar faces and some familiar names as well joining us live here on the show in 2019. For now, though, it's a wrap from all the team down here. Got to say a big thanks to you, Ross, Chris. Happy Christmas, Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas. Looking forward to December 27th. Red Wings taking on the Penguins. I'll be there. Third row. Can't wait.
It is a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to Flash Gordon. Flash has joined us to celebrate.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Certainly enjoyed himself.
He's here for all. Sean O'Shea's popped down as well. It's a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to Shawnee.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, everybody. Yeah, it's been a great year. Look forward to next year.
Looking forward to yet more. In fact, there's just one person that's missing at the moment. Has anyone seen McCarty? Has anyone seen McCarty?
He's very still sleeping.
Has anyone seen McCarty?
I have confirmation via his Instagram. He is holiday decorating shopping with Matt Fortune right now.
Oh, very good.
At an arts and crafts store.
Robbie Greenfield, I don't expect to see Greenfield these days, but McCarty, you thought he'd be down here leading from the front, wouldn't you, eh? Thanks so much indeed to you, CVR. Enjoy your Christmas and New Year.
Yeah, same to you, and let's hope Roger Federer can win another Grand Slam in 2019.
Thanks also to all the team back of house, to Anand, all the crew, to Sajid, to all the engineering team. Benji, well done to you for putting in a good innings over 2018, to Elaine, Viva Las Vegas back in the studio, and of course all those that have contributed. As I said, stay tuned. You've got Premier League action coming your way now as we head down to the bridge for the latest of Chelsea against Leicester. Enjoy!
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.